This is Suno India production. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.
Hi, this is Rakesh Kamal, editor of Climate Emergency Podcast and the host of this episode. In this episode, we dive into the complex issue of climate misinformation and its impact on both the global north and south. In this episode, I talk with Aditi Tandon, who is a production editor with Monga Bay India, which is an environment and conservation news portal. She's also a fact-checking trainer with the Google News initiative India Training Network. We discuss everything from how narratives play an important role in climate negotiations to how misinformation can hurt. Can you explain the concept of global north-south divide and in the context of mainly climate negotiations, and how does it impact the discussions and decision-making process of the countries that are involved in these negotiations?
So generally speaking, the global north-south divide in climate negotiations is shaped by equity concerns in recent times. So the discussions focus on which countries have historically contributed most to greenhouse gas emissions and what should be the share of responsibility among countries to mitigate and adapt to climate change. So this is right now the conversation in climate negotiations, the equity conversation, and that is what is the global north-south divide in recent times. So specifically in the past few years, the climate targets are linked to how effectively finance flows from industrialized and wealthy nations to low-income developing countries. And this is the conversation in when you talk about the global north-south divide in climate negotiations.
So, in context of climate misinformation, does climate misinformation contribute to the global north-south divide?
So more than climate misinformation, I would actually use the term narratives when we talk about the global north-south divide on climate action. So there are country narratives and media narratives that drive this divide. And I'll go into them in a detail in a bit. But basically, all of these narratives may not entirely be false. So we cannot say that it's misinformation per se. But these narratives do have elements of misleading information. So I'll give you an example to kind of explain what I'm saying. So some of the narratives that I'm talking about are were observed at the COPs, the UN climate conferences. And one example that I'd reported on was at COP26 in 2021, where we saw what the analysts call an absolutionism narrative. So this absolutionism narrative, it's a notion that climate action is futile unless India and China step up. Like India and China are big emitters. Unless they set up, nothing can happen with climate action. That's one part of the narrative. And of course, it's mostly the global north which is which has this narrative. And countering this narrative, during COP26 in 2021, we saw Chinese news agencies and some Indian news networks, they adopted an oppositional tone. They latched on to what the analysts are calling hypocrisy narrative, where they blamed the Western nations and pointed out the historic responsibility of the US and UK and other such developed nations. Now, these are not entirely false narratives, so we can't call them misinformation. And they did not reach a level to derail the negotiations. So we can't say misinformation derailed negotiations, but the narratives did contain misleading information. They did highlight culture wars where each country is trying to establish dominance over the other. And what eventually happens is these narratives create a polarizing environment, and us versus them environment. And polarizing environments are the spaces where misinformation flourishes, any kind of misinformation flourishes. So in a way, the link I would make is that there are narratives which drive the north-south divide, global north-south divide. And in these narratives, they create a polarizing environment where misinformation comes and thrives.
That is very interesting. Do you notice any common patterns or trends in the way this happens? Like over the last few COPs, are you starting to see a trend of this, you know, extreme, like you said, you know, the Chinese or Indian news organizations taking an extreme stand, which is only further going extreme, and the North stand going the other extreme?
Yeah, so I would say yes. I mean, there are, like I said, these narratives where the global North is blaming the South, but I won't generalize it. I won't say all of global North is blaming all of global South, or all of global South is, you know, putting, I mean, I think because, I mean, these narratives exist, but we've seen that they are not derailing the negotiations as such. So that means they've not reached a level where it's hampering the progress. There is still conversation happening. There is still good discussions happening. There is still progress happening between global North and global South. And, you know, deals are happening, negotiations are happening. But there is another layer of these narratives where there is a kind of oppositional tone. One is that, you know, global South should take action. And global South is saying that the global North is being hypocritical and they should pay for this. So that layer of narrative exists, but I don't think it's the primary layer. And I still think that there are better conversations and progress happening.
And, you know, this is more at a macro level, right? At a global level that we're talking. But if we talk at micro level in terms of the spread of misinformation happening on climate change, can you maybe talk a little bit about how it is different? Is it different? And if it is different, how it is different between, global North and global South? How is misinformation spreading on climate in North versus South?
Yes. So I would first say that it is different. The way climate misinformation spreads in different countries is different. Of course, the information that we have, the research that is being conducted on this usually focuses on the global North, especially US, UK, Europe, which is why that's more of the information we see out there. But from what, at least from what I have been observing on and reporting, there is a difference in the existence of climate misinformation, the extent of it, and the way it spreads. And in North America and to some extent in the UK and Europe, a lot of the misinformation is funded misinformation. So either funded by fossil fuel companies or any other corporates that stand to benefit from monetarily and also brand wise from this misinformation. So there is a lot of funded misinformation in North America and some countries in Europe. In India and perhaps some countries in Africa, a lot of the misinformation is linked to simply low climate literacy. So because of, low knowledge about climate change, because of poor interaction between, say, scientists and governments and public, that interaction being poor, a lot of misinformation happens unintentionally because of low climate literacy. I don't think the amount of funded misinformation that happens in North America, for example, happens in India. I think the scale is very different. But the pathway in India is low climate literacy. And of course, in any place where there is a polarizing environment created, misinformation of any kind spreads. And if India has a polarizing environment, there will be misinformation. But I think the root of it in India, at least, is low climate literacy versus funded misinformation.
I've also been seeing the trend of how it is different in India, more in terms of our understanding of environment is very different compared to that of the global North. Like, we relate to environment more in terms of, you know, from a religious point of view, or from even where you live, let live, that concept that religion brings in. But in misinformation, do you see that in India there are other factors which are spreading misinformation, sometimes climate, sometimes not climate? In India, we have a different set of influencers, right? Influencers, I probably can say, who are spreading climate misinformation more from a religious context. Like we've seen that whole Kaveri tree plantation thing you were mentioning about how it would change biodiversity or things like these. You know, something that can change. I've seen, you know, I was there in Uttarakhand during the Swachh Bharat time. I was there for a meeting in Uttarakhand. And there was a, it was a interreligious faith-based climate conference where they were talking about the importance of sanitation, of building toilets near temples. But there were some irony that I noticed was we were firstly sitting on a plenary which was on the banks of Ganga. Clearly, you should not have plenaries on the plan. One, there was not a lot of discussion on, say, things like menstruation or, you know, women hygiene and things like this when you're talking about hygiene. Now, I'm not talking about climate, but environment, hygiene. But then, you know, selectively, you try and not talk about some information just because it doesn't suit your ideology. Do you think that these kind of things will happen? Because in India, a lot of people listen to, you know, religious leaders, and these religious leaders who are starting to talk about environment are also being selective.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, there are different drivers of misinformation, and yes, in India, but also around the world. Like anyone who, I mean, see, there are drivers of information like the platforms, like social media, but the influential people, you know, not I wouldn't say politicians, but celebrities, even movie stars would be one category. Religious leaders or faith-based leaders or community leaders is another category. And all of these are people that people look up to. And they are definitely drivers of misinformation, but also the intention sometimes with which they spread misinformation is either to create confusion or to create polarization, which benefits their own, you know, group or community. So, I mean, to answer your question, yes, they are drivers of misinformation in India and around the world also. And climate misinformation could become one of the things that they are going to use as part of driving misinformation. It may not be currently at a very large scale, but yes, we are seeing, you know, kind of it appearing. So I'll just think of this example. It happened, was it in Kerala? Let me just look up this example of where they said that rains are happening because women are wearing jeans, heavy rains. I think it was in Kerala.
One thing that I've also noticed is this kind of misinformation spreads irrespective of the religion you belong to.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And sometimes it's not even religion. It's also just a community you may belong to, which may be just based on something else. You know, it's any collective that you're part of. You know, it could be religion, it could be faith, it could be something completely different, a common activity. It could be even a workspace where there is a community built around something. So all these, and the person who's influential in that is the driver of misinformation over there, and for different reasons. And I can't find that exact example, but basically there was an example where someone said that extreme rains and floods are because women are wearing jeans or something like that. I may not have the exact thing, but it was linking something completely absurd to climate change or to heavy rainfall. And these are, I mean, this is done so that, say, for example, this example would be so that women are not empowered eventually, or women are, you know, kept under the control of what they should be wearing in what is culturally appropriate. And so slipping in climate change into these things also is what we're seeing now. And it's complete misinformation. There's no link, but this is how climate misinformation is appearing in India.